Morning, Rabbi Isai. So we are now embarking upon the 23rd Cheshbon HaNefesh in Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh Perek Gimel. 23rd meditation. Zok the Heilige Chayos Levavois. Person wants to be a serious Ovid Hashem. One of the important obligations is She is Bainain B'Neflois HaBoyri. Person should take time to consider and pay close attention to all the wondrous things that Hashem made in the Bria. She'ev she'lirais b'chom ha'she'esh b'olam, and there's neflois in everything in the world. So we have an endless museum and an endless base medrash called the world from which to learn. Ba'avruim ha'ktanim v'agadolim, and there's little things to learn from and big things to learn from. So you can learn amazing things from looking at worms that come out here in great abundance after the rain. They're all over the place. And you can learn things from ants. And you can learn things from the sun and from the stars. You can also learn something from people too, you know. Don't forget about looking at people. People also are wonderful things, isn't it? People travel, you know. The truth is people want to see wonderful things. So they go to Niagara Falls. And they go to Grand Canyon. But another eight is to take the BMT or the IRT packed with people, and you watch the people hanging the strap hangers while they're hanging on the straps going to work. People of all colors and all stripes. And there's great ployim of people as well. You got to learn from that too. See, people of human being is more exciting and more to learn from than from the Grand Canyon. And one should do things, he says, you have to be very sophisticated about this. That we should know that there is a gradation of species and phyla and, what was that fellow's name again? That Swiss fellow with an L, forgot his name, who made all these gradations of the different species and figured out what a species is, what comes together. Linnaeus, that's right. Linnaeus made this cheshbon. And he was Dutch, actually. Okay, fine. He's a Dutchman. Okay, he would know this. So, Linnaeus made it all very clear, and there's different levels, up and down, many other biologists and botanists. And if you know how things ascend, you have a greater appreciation of the Chochmah that Hashem put into the world. And, of course, you have to learn Tchunas Galgalei Arakia. You have to look at the sky and know the astronomy of all the different stars and planets and nebulae. And you have to understand the tnu of the Shemesh and the Areach, Kochavi HaSheves, Kochavi HaLeches. There are planets that move, the Kochavi HaLeches are the moving planets, of course. They call them a star, and there are stars that move, there are shooting stars. There are stars that appear to be stationary. One has to wonder about the precipitation cycle. We read this HaGeshomim, the Shivas Aruchais. Why is the wind blow sometimes, sometimes it doesn't? Why is it sometimes windy and sometimes it doesn't blow the wind? It's a Gefar Mer de Gazach. You have to pay attention to this. If you don't, you're missing a big shear. So you wouldn't miss the shear for anything every Sunday morning at 8:45. So you should know that the Rebbeinu Shlomo's base medrash, there's like the, you know, the dial of daf, you can call it 24 hours a day. There's dial of Pella. The Rebbeinu Shlomo has wondrous things being shown 24 hours a day, any place we turn, the flies are buried. So in case you ever claim you're bored, you have a board, did you get bored? Some people tell me they're bored. In case you ever get bored with life, just go outside in your backyard and just look all around, but look real well, and you'll see amazing things. The truth is, if you think about it, it's really, I mean, Taka, where does the winds come from? Where does wind come? Why is it windy some days, not windy? And then the biggest pellet is the earth itself. The earth itself, you know, the earth is constantly rotating. And I forget what's the speed that the earth is rotating? It's double rotating. It's rotating on its own axis, and it's rotating around the sun. How fast is it going? That's rotating on its axis, or rotating in its annual circle? It's 10,000 miles an hour on its axis. That's 24 hours. So we're going 240,000 miles a day, just around the circles, 10,000 miles an hour. That's pretty fast. And the sky, how fast is it going? The circuit around the sun is 100 million miles, it's over 100 million miles probably. So it's got to move. So the truth is that that's the biggest pella. The pella is that at last time I studied it, the Earth has no motor. There's no motor, there's no nuclear reactor, this Earth, and it keeps on moving. It's pella de gazach. It's going 10,000 miles an hour on its own axis. It's going millions of miles, going probably hundreds of thousands a day, maybe I don't know how many million a day. It's going around the sun, never deviating, and it is no source of energy. It has absolutely no source of energy. There's no motor inside the Earth. It's gay. It doesn't even have Duracells inside. Can you imagine what Duracells it would need? It has to be changing the batteries all the time. And the sun, the Earth is going and going and going and going and going. It goes. It's a pellet, the gazak. And it's going around the sun. And the sun is 93 million miles away. Yet the sun, 93 million miles, has such a tremendous power over it. And even when you can't see the sun has a power over it. It's mamash amazing. And, of course, the biggest pellet is that nobody falls off. We're upside down, and it's going 10,000 miles an hour. Are you glued to this Earth? Do you have magnetic boots? And you mizitzto as a fine and good 10,000. Now, I've been in Miami during hurricanes when it was 150 miles an hour. Boy, when it goes 150 miles an hour, hurricane, nothing. They just think cars move. Cars get moving. At 200 miles an hour, that's, forget it. Everything, nothing stands in front of that. 250 is, I don't think that ever happened yet. But, and the Earth is going 10,000 miles an hour speed. And everything is quiet, still, you don't even hear it. Ain't Omer. It's mamash amazing. It's really amazing. Nobody falls off. Nobody feels anything bad. But the biggest pell is that by some chance of evolution, that just the Earth, no other body in the whole heaven developed the perfect atmosphere. Just the right ratio of oxygen and nitrogen and carbon dioxide to support life. But you know, even if the best atmosphere would all dissipate into space, if you wouldn't have the Van Allen belt and the different ozone layers around it that keep this wonderful atmosphere inside, because eventually leave the atmosphere, it's just 150 miles up. So it's ice. Actually, you go up a couple of miles, you start losing oxygen. And you go higher than that, the whole thing would be holes, you punch holes in the ozone belt, big problems with the sun coming in, frying us, and losing oxygen. So it's really amazing.
I always get confused when a rabbi talks about evolution.
Yeah. You get confused?
Yeah.
Am I pro or anti?
No. He's using the word evolution.
I believe men and monkeys are very closely related. I am very into evolution. I'm into evolution, and no question, of our closest relatives are monkeys, apes, and gorillas. The only thing is that we believe in reverse evolution. We believe that the monkeys came from men, not the men came from monkeys. That's all. So we believe the monkeys are very closely related, just that they're our descendants. And when men start doing monkey business, they're bunched to make them into apes. At the time of the Dara Flugga, so one third of the people who were monkeying around became apes. No problem. But the Rabbi Yishnah made a wonderful world. I'm saying, of course, I'm making fun of evolution, the thing that happened. If evolution means that it all happened by itself, by chance, forget the amazing botanical, vegetable, and man and animal world. Just to create an atmosphere that we have. It's such an amazing atmosphere that we have. And that it's held in. It makes it that, and then to have the perfect external chemical layers around it. Again, I'm not Bucky, but that it's all held in perfectly, and the exact ratio, just the amount, and if you wouldn't have these ozone layers around us, then the sun would burn us to a crisp, and we'd be a mamish just a few miles closer to the sun, we'd all, chas v'shalom, get cancer of the skin, too much heat. A little further from the sun, we'd freeze to death. It's the perfect proportion. It's just punk the Earth is exactly the right distance from the sun. I had that happen. It's just amazing. It just happened to be exactly, just the right amount. A little closer, a little further. And to this very day, if the sun gets a little closer, the polar ice cap will melt, then we'll all drown. And there'll be a big tidal wave, and then the whole world will get covered with a lot of water. It has to be exactly perfect. So it just happened by itself, after the Big Bang, of course. And again, there's no evidence of any other solar system out there. There's no other planets. And we don't have just one planet, we have a number of planets. I guess they're a bunch of made all the other planets to show us what a pellet is that we have the Earth. Because look what, anyway, maybe it's life on Mars, no life on Mars, Venus, Jupiter, and no place else has life. It's only Earth that can support life. Why? The same solar system. Terence says only Earth is exactly the right distance from the sun, and only Earth somehow has this, all these other chemical, all these other gases that make it able to support life. So you just look at the plume, that alone is enough to keep us busy thinking for days. And again, 10,000 miles an hour, don't feel a thing, don't hear a thing. And there's a plume called gravity. Gravity. What's gravity? It's a miracle also. It's a rule that a large mass holds in the smaller mass. Why is it? Maybe it should be the opposite. Maybe it should be anti-gravity. There's according to astronomers, in space, there's anti-gravity also. There's just the opposite. So why does Hashem make a point that there's a concept of gravity? Well, that's what really holds us down over here. It's just amazing. Again, it's just that we're traveling and nothing, and we're still, and it's always equidistant to the sun. So again, the sun's never burning us. And there's going to be seasons. Seasons are a wonderful thing also. It's a great miracle. Marva Ravim, Asher Bechavim, Marva Ravim, as soon as Mashanita, Machav Zazmanim, Hashem changes the seasons, but it's all perfect. Zog to Chav Zavavavim, you can't be a maimon by Hashem unless you take time, spend time to think about these wonderful things, about the rain, and about the wind, and about the stars. That's enough to keep you going. But he says, you want to go a little bit further, well, think about Yetzias Havlat, Merechem Imoy, think about the wonders of birth, and think about the... concealed is this, just the pell of our digestive system. You can spend days just thinking about the digestive system, how amazing it is, the exact kind of enzymes that digest the exact kind of food that's good for us, and animals have a different kind of digestive system, and there's herbivorous animals and carnivorous animals, and we're both, and animals can only do one, some are both, some are omnivorous, we're omnivorous, we can do everything, some animals can only do this, some can do that. It's just pilaployim. And the biggest pella is, again, I don't care what you say, the dawn of mankind, since it's recorded history, is how long? 3,000 years, 4,000 years. So, you know, we all come from Neanderthals, right? We all come from cavemen, okay? So, we all come from cavemen, right?
I don't know.
Of course, because we believe in evolution. So for those of us who believe in evolution, those of, you're not enlightened, you spend too much time in shul, but us enlightened people know about the realities of life, we come from Neanderthals, but isn't that pella that since the dawn of creation, since man has gotten intelligent to record things, just 4,000 years ago, which is nothing in the evolutionary landscape, so there was never been recorded a one-eyed giraffe, a one-eared giraffe that didn't evolve with 2 ears. Now one Neanderthal man has been found. Even the Aborigines, who are like the lowest level of life on this earth, in Australia, the Aborigines or the Pygmies someplace, but they're all regular human beings. Just that the Pygmies are a little short, the Aborigines are a little blacker, and a little more, well, there's definitely different types of human beings, but we've never found anything looking like a Neanderthal man. Nothing that looks anything like something from the Java man, or this kind of man, or that kind of man. Nothing that looked... So everybody just evolved perfectly, the exact same minute. The minute one man got smart enough to write, everybody else was smart enough, the same moment. And the whole, no one ever saw anybody else. There were travelers going around, the Harat, there's a traveling here and there. Never found anybody who was different. Everybody just became perfect the same minute. And all the animals too. We haven't, no evolutionary animals were discovered in the last 4,000 years. Pliny the Elder's been writing, and the Harat has been writing, and this guy's been writing with history and natural history. And nobody found anything different than today. And everybody just came perfect the same minute. The minute man was perfect, the animals were perfect, the vegetables were perfect, all the dinosaurs disappeared, everybody's gone, and it's just a perfect world. Just since men woke up. What happened? Maybe give me one evolutionary animal with only one ear. I'm waiting for the Cyclops giraffe. Well, only one eye. It didn't evolve with two eyes. Everybody evolved with two eyes. Punk two eyes. Why not three eyes? You ever see a mammal with three eyes? Never. There's always two eyes. Never heard of more than two eyes. I don't know. Something, I don't believe in evolution. So, the kids are my friend.
Maybe three eyes is better.
Maybe three eyes is better. Maybe one eye is better. You see less? One, right? Reb Shimba Yechai said maybe two mouths would be better. He's one for Lashon Hara and one for davening. But he said, in the end, we use the davening one for Lashon Hara also. So it's better than one mouth because we have enough trouble with one mouth. Anyway, the kids are, he says, think about it. But you gotta think about it. And you think about how perfect man is, You see what the shleimus of man, we see that man is so perfect, God must be perfect. And you see how God runs our lives with all kinds of perfect coincidences, right? That everything just seems to work out just fine. So, don't hold yourself back. Interesting, the Chazal says, you know, people have a tendency to hold themselves back. We don't allow ourselves the luxury of thinking. We don't have to think. He says, be the spoil. Talk about it. Talk it up. Get excited about it. We should dance on the tables here this morning. We should dance mamish on the tables that we're human beings and we're such a perfect world. Hashem made a great world for us. Everyone, where's Gan Eden? It's right here, Gan Eden. This is the whole world is a Gan Eden. So don't hold yourself back from being spoiled, he says. And don't hold yourself back from thinking about it some more. And even though you saw it many times, he says, and you're Mizragel. I've seen the sun every morning since I got up, since I was a kid. I've seen the trees all over the place. What? I'm not on the spoil. No. Don't let these Peloyim be Kalim Beinecha. Just because you know them from the past, and just because you're very hamish with them, and you're accustomed to them. No, look at them again. Look at them. Look at the fresh eyes. Don't look at them with the eyes of your youth and your yaldas when you were a child. That's the worst mistake. You have to look at every day with a fresh view and be amazed by the sun, amazed by the moon. And he says most people talk like that. Even Choshevah people, that he says then the spoil from extraordinary things. When they go to when they see an eclipse of the sun, eclipse of the moon, when they see thunder, lightning, earthquakes, hurricanes, they see the natural things, they see talk of the Grand Canyon, they see waterfalls, then spoiled. But that's wrong. Because if you're going to go to the Grand Canyon, your mama is being mavaza, your backyard. Hashem gave you a beautiful backyard, and your backyard, you have a Grand Canyon. Just spend a little time looking. Look at the soil, it's amazing, the soil. Dig it up a little bit, see what you find. See what the earthworms are doing. Look at the ants. Look at a beehive. Just look around. Just look in your own back garden. He's just looked at regular things. He says, people on the spoil from Shluaz, Galgali, Rakia. Just look at the sky. Look at the earth. Think of the earth. Sibuveim. Think of the earth going around on its, the Tnua and the Sibuv. Sibuv is going on its axis. And the Tnua is its constant orbit. It's an orbit and its axis. And look at the sun. Look at the stars. Look at the sunrise, sunset, the rain, the wind, all this stuff. The next time it rains, look out. Just look at the rain. It's an amazing thing, rain. Amazing thing, rain. And look at the regular animals. You don't have to look. You don't have to go to the zoo. Just look at the cats. Go look in your backyard. And I have a whole collection back in my back. I have a whole zoo in my backyard. I have skunks. I have rabbits. Deer every now and then. Except for you marrying away, people chase my deer away. I have to bill you for my deer, my lost deer. And I have a whole zoo in my backyard. Great things. So he said, these things go on day and night. And go down to a brook, go down to a little river, then go to the Mawa River nearby. Over here we have a Mawa River. And go to the Willow Tree Park, look at it's flowing, it's something that end. And you think about it, it rained 3 days ago, and still there's water coming in somehow from a brook at the mouth of the Willow Tree pond over there, and it goes flowing elsewhere. And where did that water come from? It all collects. It's amazing how the water collects together and makes a little pond, a little brook, and then it gets a bigger pond. Go look at these things, think about it, and goes day and night, it's flowing. And look at the geese, and look at the ducks, everything. So, my friend, if you look at the broom of the Rabbeinu Shalom, the main thing is, he says, don't become rogil. Don't let it become a habit, and don't become accustomed to it. Just because you misbinim mitzvar meila b'tzirushcha, when you saw them the first time, you didn't get in the spoil. No, you must be in the spoil. That's what it means to be mavugar, he says. It's maturity. Maturity is to take a fresh look at life. Kishesichlecha his bager, velitcha his dachech, ubinas lahigia. He says, success, intellectual success, he says, is when your brain has matured and your heart has been purified, and when your perception has reached its depth, binas higia. It's a sound. Your seichel is bag. Seichel is one thing, and bina is something else. So seichel is the ability to analyze things very, very precisely and accurately. Seichel is the power of analysis. And then binoscha, bina, is extrapolation. Bina is deeper perception, to take all of the new information that you are processing with your seichel and now bring it down to a deeper level and to see new insights from it. So seichel is just the original analysis, the input, the intake of the information, but in a very precise way. And then bina is to extract new ideas and new insights. So when you get older and your seichel is mizbagir, but you also, he puts in the middle, libcha is dachek, your heart has become purified. The heart means the sense of ego, of selfishness. Selfish people do not want to be confused by the facts. Selfish people who are not pure of heart, they will see that, they will look at the facts, but they'll ignore the facts. They don't want to believe that there's a Rabbi Nishlom. I don't want to believe there's a God. So everything points that there's no evolution. Everything points that there has to be a God. There has to be a master plan. But since my heart is not in this dacha, my heart is not pure, so I don't want to see, don't tell me the facts. I don't want to see the facts. Because I want to live my own life. So you get the facts clear, there's screaming, there's a God, there's a creator. My heart is not pure, it's not going to help you. The best brain. So Einstein can have the best brain in the world. And Newton, I don't know from where Newton was, all these guys were incredible people, incredible brains. However, so what? It's like the famous story of Rav Gifter. I think you heard the story of Rav Gifter, that next door to the yeshiva, you know, once upon, we have a very big campus in Tells, but once it's even bigger. But part of the land they had to sell. It's some money once, they had to sell a few acres. So beyond the certain woods in front of the yeshiva, there's a Holiday Inn. It's changed names so many times, I don't know what it's called today. Every couple of years they change the name, but it's a big hotel. So they were having a Mensa convention there. They're having a Mensa convention. Mensa is the geniuses. You kind of place, you know? Guys with IQ over, what, 140 or so? That's your league? Any guy with IQ over 140? So, I think, I don't know much about IQs. What do you have to be a Mensa? Any members here? We have any Mensa members here? You remember? What? Mensa? What? You know, anyway, the kids, so there was a Mensa convention, punked over there, and one of the guys in yeshiva was taking a walk down the hill, and he meets a fellow from the Mensa convention, they get into a conversation, the guy's talking about a big genius that they have this, so the bacher says, listen, this is a genius convention. You want to meet a real genius? Come up to our yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Gifter, he is a real genius. You want to meet a genius? That is a genius. He says, really? He says, yeah, you'll be able to, you'll tell your friends, you discovered a new genius. He speaks English. And so the boy actually takes him up to the yeshiva and meets Rav Gifter. And he says, Rav Gifter, you know, having a Mensa convention down the hill. And this gentleman over here is from Mensa, and he's a genius. And he wants to meet another genius. So he says, you're a genius? Tell me something, young man. Do you believe in God? Nah. What? Just look around this entire campus over here. There's lots of little children playing around. Ask any 6-year-old boy if they believe in God. Any 6-year-old boy over here, any 6-year-old girl believes in God. And you don't believe in God? And you call yourself a genius? You're not a genius, you're a fool. Have a good day. Zygazun. That was the end of the Mensa. So the kids are... So that's true, he's not a genius. So he has all the great brains, he has 140, 150, 160 IQ, who knows how much IQ, but knowledge has to have three factors. You have to have seichel, you have to have bina, and you have to have leiv, you have to have a leiv, you have to have a pure heart. Without a pure heart, no matter how much you know, you're gonna misinterpret it willingly, you're gonna falsify the facts. You're gonna falsify the facts. People do it all the time. They ruin themselves because of the heart. I think of a fellow in Miami, a guy, intelligent fellow, some shaykhs too, very fine fellow. Actually, I think I even performed his wedding ceremony many years ago. Very brilliant doctor, and a very fine wife, comes from a fine family, lives in Frum. And the guy, shockingly enough, as we talk, is spending time behind bars, he's in jail. Brilliant researcher, he was on the cutting edge of research for AIDS. He found some all kinds of incredible things. He was a brilliant guy. But his greed got the best of him. And when he billed patients, he double billed, triple billed. You know, they all kinds of shtick with the insurance companies, and they corrupt him. And now the guy's in jail, divorced, lost his wife, lost his children, lost everything. He was rich to start with. He comes from a rich family. He got wealth. He got greedy. And all the family's political clout. Couldn't he have political clout? This, that. He came from a wealthy family to start with. He was wealthy himself. But you get greedy. So why does all of his seichel, his analytical powers, his extrapolatory powers, have gone to him? Because his lev was not mizdachech. His heart wasn't pure, and his love for money was overriding. That's all the parents' fault, because they were greeners and that money, 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 and money, mechal Shabbos for money, and you can cheat for money, and you know, when you and your parents cheat a little for money, you cheat. So if a child sees his parents are cheating on God for money, on the one hand, the parents paid lip service to Shabbos. Shabbos is very important. But when you gotta work, you gotta work. When you gotta drive, you gotta drive. So that's cheating on God. You believe in Shabbos, but you cheat. You're a cheater. What do you think kids pick up from their parents that they're cheaters? So the kid cheats on the government, he cheats on the insurance companies, and he gets sent to jail, bizyanus. So the whole life, the parents, their dream is the American dream. They want a little covet, they want a little respect, and they send the kids to college and everything, but they undermine their own child. Because they told the kids to cheat. They cheated on their Baruch Shalom. They knew from Shabbos. They knew from Shabbos from Emo. But they cheated on their Baruch Shalom. You can't cheat on their Baruch Shalom. So you have to have zichuch haleiv. He says, when you get a little older and your seichel, three things, your seichel has matured and your heart has been purified and your bina, your insight has arrived at a deeper level, then you can look at the world from anew with fresh eyesight like you never looked before. You have to open your mind, open your eyes this morning and say, I'm Shem. I'm looking at the world like I never looked at it before. It's a new world. It's a new world. It is every day. It's a new world. Moi dani lefanecha. You gave him back my neshama, tchias ameisim. Every morning is tchias ameisim. You know, one thing you can make tchias ameisim on yourself. I have a fairy godfather. It's a yid, an alta mirror taka, big tzaddik, bal musar. And every week or two, every 2-3 weeks, he sends me a letter or he gives me a call. Out of the clear of the sky, gives me a shot in the arm. Last night he calls me up, 11 o'clock at night, he gives me a homeless issue. Once he's on the phone with me, it's a half an hour, and no matter what I'm in the middle of doing, everything has to stop, and I get a musish for half an hour. He says to me, we believe in Tchias HaMeisim. There's Tchias HaMeisim for dead people, but there's no Tchias HaMeisim for dead time. Dead time doesn't come back. If you kill your time, you'll never get it back. You kill yourself, you can come back Tchias HaMeisim. But you'll come back, but your time won't. Wait, don't waste your time. Use your time well. There's no tchias ameisim on time. But every morning, so the time we lost is never coming back. That's really it's a big chaval. But there is a tchias ameisim on our bodies. And every day we have a mini tchias ameisim when you get up in the morning. And therefore, when you get up in the morning, he says, open your eyes this morning and take a new, fresh look at the beautiful Ramapo Mountains over there in Harriman Park. Go take a little hike today. Go to Kakiat Park. And, you know, it's amazing. People, I tell them, go to Kakiat Park. They say, where's Kakiat Park? They lived in Muncie for 25 years. Other people never heard of Kakiat Park? Never heard of, they went to Bear Mountains. They're living here in this gorgeous, beautiful nature, and there's nothing to do to go to these places. First thing I did when I came here is found out where the parks are. Because that's my base medrash. This is not my base medrash. I have a cathedral in the forest. That's my real base medrash. That's where, along with the Rabbanu Shalom. No dues out there, no membership, no mishabeirachs. It's free, it's no kiddushim, no politics. It's a machaya, cathedral under the sky. A vault. So he says, open your eyes up and think, make believe, he says, that until this very day, you were blind. Imagine your mama is literally a blind person until this very day. And then, suddenly, Baruch Hashem, you zeichet to a medical miracle, and your eyes open up for the first time. And you saw things you never saw before. People always told you about a sun you never saw. It. This is the sun. I've heard about you so much, Reb Sun. Wow, let me get to know the sun. This is the moon? Ah, again, for 39 years I heard about the moon. I never could see it. I had no eyes. And now I'm well. Oh, let me take a good look at the moon. So imagine you were a blind person who never saw the moon before in your life. And then he says a very stark kazakh, says the Chavis Levav. He says, Vavin l'charaya, achi. He always calls his readers my brother. That's us. We're brothers of Chavis Levavis. You have a good yichas. Yes, you have the yichas, Mr. Nenner? Say, sure. My brother, I have a very chashver brother. He was very famous. His name is His name is Rabbi Bechaya Ibn Pakuda. I said, who's he? He wrote the Sefer Chayvus HaLevavos, my brother. Really? Yep, my brother, my family. He says, my dear brother, I'll bring you a raya, that the fool is like a blind man. And when he starts understanding, he's like an iver hapakech hazenov. When a person starts using his real seichel, he's like a blind man who for the first time opened his eyes up, and we make a bracha every morning, pakech ivrim. He didn't say that's the raya, but we say a bracha every morning, we say pakech ivrim. That means, the emes is his words, mamash attack in the davening. We daven every morning, pakech ivrim. That's us. That God has given sight to the blind. That means that that the Chazal u'machaber, the bracha said, when you go to sleep at night, you are blind. You get up in the morning, you have to look as if you're pekeach ivrim. You see something from new. And he says the raya, but I'll give you a different raya. That the person who doesn't understand what's happening is like a blind man. The raya is from Adam Rishon. Because Adam and Chava, after the sin, it says, vati pekachna einei shnehem. Their eyes opened up. The eyes opened up. Now, we know they had eyes before. Their eyes, they weren't blind before. The answer is they didn't understand what's going on. They didn't understand until now that the original clothing that God intended for people was not physical clothing. Hashem wanted people to have spiritual clothing. So they didn't understand that. And after they sinned with the Nachash, so Hashem opened their eyes to see that they were naked, that they had spiritual clothing once upon a time, they were naked from that, and now they're going to need physical clothing. So that's called opening their eyes. Now, biologically, their eyes were the exact same eyes. But since they didn't understand the information properly, they didn't really understand what life is all about and what it means to really be dressed. So therefore, even though their eyes were open, and now they're considered like blind people who opened their eyes for the first time and started to see. So he says, don't stop, look, keep looking, keep checking the world out. That's the only way. And then you'll see the truth. And you'll see the ploim of the Bria, things you never even knew before. You're who knows how old you are, and your mom is like a newborn baby. And he says, one of the Chachom once said, this is one of his maimorim, one of his maxims. He says, a wise man once said, the hearts of the wise men, the hearts have eyes. With these eyes, they see things that the fools don't see with their own two eyes. Now that's actually up in the Gemara. The Gemara says, the name is Gemara in Brachas, that there was a certain Tzaduki who was making fun of Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes was absolutely blind, and Rav Sheshes was blind. Of course, Rav Sheshes made himself blind. No, strange thing, he made himself blind. He blinded himself. Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, you know, was blind from the Daf Yomi 2-3 days ago, right? Rav Yosef thought he was potter for mitzvahs because he was blind. Actually, we pass an asumas chayv in mitzvahs. But he thought that asumas potter for mitzvahs, he thought he was blind, and he'd make a yomtiv if someone tell him that a blind person is chayv, not a whole gemara over there. So the Ran over there says Rav Yosef made himself blind because he couldn't control his eyes not to look outside his dalet amos. So the detriment to his eyes, looking, going to Manhattan and looking around where you shouldn't be looking, or even in Muncie, or even on your own street, looking, he couldn't control his eyes, and therefore he took something and he blinded himself. Very strange story. But this is Rav Yosef, the Rebbe of Abaya and Rava, a big person. Rav Yosef, Rosh Yeshiva, he blinded himself. He had a chaver, Rav Sheshes, also blinded himself. Rav Sheshes seems blinded himself by looking at bright marble. That's why it's called Rav Sheshes, maybe, because he looked at bright marble. Shayish. They were both Talmidim of Rav. Rav, hey, look at the Amoira, Rav, the first of the greatest Amoroyim, Rav had 10 midas de chasidusa. He had 10 very special midas chasidus. He didn't speak very much. He never looked outside of his dalet amos. So when he died, the Talmidim wanted to mekabel his 10 midas. And Rav Yosef Rav Sheshes tried very hard not to look outside their own dalet amos. So they couldn't do it. So they blind themselves. Rather to be blind than to be tempted to look at a television set. Do I recommend it? I don't recommend it, no. We're not even holding it there. But the truth of the matter is they really weren't blind. Because the Chavos Lava says there's people who are blind that can see more than people with two eyes. And the Gemara says Rav Sheshes was such a person. I'm only telling you something else. I'm telling you how careful you have to be with our eyes. People say, oh, Rabbi, don't be so firm. He came up in the New York Times. Just the ads in the first section, not the last, not the recreation section, just the New York Times first section, you can't open up ads. But Rabbi, come on, you don't be so prudish. You know, this is America. This is the year 2001. How can you live without looking at the Times? You can live. So Rabbi, but if we do the Nezek, if we knew the Nezek that we're doing to our eyes, it would be just like a little bit of dust. Your wonderful eyes, your eyes are great. A little dust, you can't see, a little dust. Why did Hashem make it a little dust immobilize our eyes? Little dust doesn't immobilize our nose or our ears. Our ears are full of wax and schmutz and garbage. The nose is full of mucus and it still functions. But the eye, my nose is stuffed up right now. I can't, it's allergy season. But I try to breathe, I do my best. My nose is stuffed up, it functions. My ears are full of stuff, right? And still functions. My eye, a little nothing, I don't know what it is, a little something to show you how delicate the eye is. That just like physically, if a little mashu of speck of dust gets in your eye, you're rubbing, you can't even function. Certainly spiritually, the slightest little speck, little scratching of lenses, you don't have spiritual vision. Rav Sheis is mamish blind. And Rav Yosef. Rav Sheis says, so the Gemara says that Stuki came to make fun of him. So Rav Sheis says, okay, let's see if you can see you more, you or me. So they went, there was a parade that day. And the king was coming to town. Gemara was on daf nun hey and brachas. I think it is the king. What nun ches, and the king was coming to town, and there was a huge crowd, and they couldn't get real close to the parade. There was an up the canyon of heroes, and there was millions of people there. So they hear a huge scream, and the goy says, or the tzuki says, "Oh, the king is coming." Jay says, "No, he's not coming." But I hear that he's not coming. He didn't come. And then they heard trumpets blaring and more noise and more hurrahs. Oh, now he's for sure coming. No, nothing. Jesus is not coming. The duck doesn't come. Then they heard the clatter of the horses and the whinnying and the neighing and again the big tumult. And fireworks, going off fireworks. No, the Tsuki says the king's certainly coming now. Jesus is not coming. And Tsuki is right. And then finally, there was a hush of silence. A deathly silence, nothing stirred, nothing moved. Hashem said, now the king is coming. Because it says the Pasuk Eliyahu Navi, that when he was waiting for God, and he was in the cave, there was first a rash, there was a big earthquake, Hashem didn't come. There was a big wind, there was a storm, a tempest, Hashem didn't come. There was a fire, Hashem didn't come. And then there was a cold, the mamadaka, there was a voice of silence. A voice of silence, then Hashem came. So Rav Sheshes, through his Torah vision, saw more than the Tzuki saw with his own eyes of flesh and blood. The hearts of the wise have eyes. With the eyes of the heart, they see things that the fools don't see, mamash with their flesh and blood, real eyes. Like Navi Yeshaya says in Perek Mem, Halo Teidu, Halo Tishmo'u, Sumar Meneichem, Rumi Bareila. You will know and you will hear. Lift up your eyes and see me Bareila. He doesn't say Halo Tiru. The ear of the Lashon, he says Halo Teidu Ala Dishmo. You should know and you should hear. And then when you know and hear, Sumar Meneichem, lift up your eyes and see who created this. But first you have to hear in your heart. At first you have to know in your heart, and then you can lift up your eyes and see something. If you don't have the proper preparation to process it properly, you're not going to see anything. Now just one last note on this subject. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Aleph, the Gemara says, and Daf Lamed Aleph gives you the reason for the Shir Shel Yoms. So we say various Shir Shel Yom every day. We don't even know why we're saying them. We say, right? The Yom HaRishon B'Shabbos, this is the Shir Shel Levim HaYomim Beis HaMikdash. This is the Shir that Levine would say on the first day of the week. We said this morning. But why was that chosen to be the song for the first day of the week? So the Gemara gives the explanation of everything here. It was Shoshana Daf Lamed Aleph. And the Gemara says, on Thursday, the Chamisha Yoimrim, Haninu Lelekim Uzeinu. On Thursday we say, Haninu Lelekim Uzeinu. We have a Siddur. Is Siddurim around here? No Siddurim. What a place. No Siddurim. On Thursday we say, Haninu Haninu l'Lakim Uzeinu. Let us give songs of praise. Thank you to l'Lakim Uzeinu. That is what we got to do on Thursdays. So why in the world do we give praises and songs to God on Thursdays? Why is Thursday song day? Thursday is song day. Of course, I should have asked you a better question. I would have asked you what the name of the song for Thursday is. So who's going to tell what's the name of the song for Wednesday? How does it start? Boy, you're a smart guy. How does the song for Monday start? What? Yeah, but what's next, Basak? Okay, fine. Smart crowd here. So Thursday is Lamaseh Lagidus Lasov. Harnino Lelekimu Zainu. Sing joyously to the God of our might, Arilu Ke Yaakov. Sing, sing, Suzimrat, Nutaif. Singing, singing, lift up your voice in song. Beat the drums, Kino Noyim and Novel, the harps, the navel, the flutes. Singing songs to God. What are we singing about? What is there to sing about? What are we singing about? Zog de Gemara, in Rosh Hashanah Lamed Aleph, Hanila Kimazain. What happened on Thursday that we should sing about? Something on Thursday. Something Thursday, Dick. Something on Yom Chamishi. What happened on Yom Chamishi? On Yom Chamishi, Shebara, Oifais V'Dogim. Hashem created birds and fish. L'shabeach L'shmo. And the purpose of the dog and the dog, the fish and the fish and the birds, is that we should praise Hashem. It says Rashi, Kishadam Raya, Oifis Mishunim Zemizeh. I guess it's also dog Mishunim Zemizeh too. We see how many different kinds of birds they are. So you put a bird feeder out in your backyard, and away from the windows, away from the house. But in your backyard, and you get all these wonderful birds we have here. Oh, there's such beautiful birds now. Now it's almost the season. And you see these gorgeous birds. Why did Hashem make red birds and blue birds? In this name, you see blue ones and red ones and orange ones. And I wish I knew more about it. Got to take an ornithology little course here to know what's a, what's an oriole and what's a this and what's a that and what's a cardinal and what's a robin and a chlesnish. But they're pretty. And why did Hashem make so many different pretty colors? So you should ignore them? No, Hashem said, when you're eating breakfast, don't look at the newspaper. Right? Don't look at this baby after breakfast either. It's very dangerous. I'm going to do it. Don't worry. I don't fulfill anything I say. Don't expect me to practice what I preach. Because some people always mahana me with the Sunday Times. The rabbi has to know what's going on in the world, you know. So they corrupt me, you know. I have a big Nisayan. What? Anti-Semitic paper. But still, the Eitzar wants me to read it anyway. I have to know my enemy, right? It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Rabbis have to be intelligent, informed. Big kid says, I'm going to ruin my eyes today. But maybe I won't. Maybe I'll be open being the scion. We'll see. But one thing for sure, I'd be better off looking at the birds on my deck. There are so many birds. During breakfast, I see all kinds of birds. This beautiful red one. I see this red bird. It's Mamash Gaval. See the red bird around here? He has a couple of red ones. I hate those black crows. Oh, yeah. That's really fine. I hate them. But when you see all these birds, different ones, Mishunim Zemizeh, nice and Shevach, Lamisha Brahmi, so to praise God. Thank you, Hashem, for red robins and blue jays. Thank you. And woodpeckers. Oh, I got a lot of woodpeckers. They wake me up, and then when I get the woodpeckers, like a drill mamish. I got woodpeckers someplace around my house. They wake me at 5 during the morning. They're drilling away. It's unbelievable. It's a woodpecker. Meredith. So you say, why does Hashem make woodpeckers? So I should wake up and give praise to Hashem? And the same thing to fish. You go to an aquarium. So it sounds Rashi, it's funny, the Gemara says Hashem made the birds and the fish to give Shevach to the Rabbanishlam. But Rashi only says, Kishadam Raya Oifis Mashun Zemizeh, give Shevach to the Rabbanishlam. Why does he say on fish too? I don't know. I would even suspect that there's more different species of fish than birds. And the birds are more, and I think the fish are even more amazing than the birds. You look, the fish are mamish amazing. If you go to the aquarium, the fish are absolutely unbelievable, different than colors and shee. So I don't know why Rashi leaves out. The Morris says fish, and the Rashi leaves it out. What do you say, Mr. Brown? Look, you're thinking about something very important about this. So, why doesn't the Rashi say fish too? Only birds. Chesnisht. But Hashem made those things, so Hashem did it for a reason. And you all know the Yerushalmi in the end of Kiddushin that Rabbi Lazar used to save his pennies so he could buy one each of every single kind of fruit every year. So you give Shevach to the Rabbanish, they'll make a Shechiyonah on every different kind of fruit and vegetable in the year. And he said, if you don't, in the future Hashem will take you to task. If you don't eat star fruit at least once a year, you don't eat all these exotic different things that you have to eat, then Hashem's going to be angry at you. Because he said, I made such a beautiful world. Right? And like Rabbeinu Hirsch is reputed to have said, he used to visit the Alps in Switzerland saying, because after 120, I'll come to God, God and say, Shamshur of oil, hat ihr gesehen meine Alpen? Did you see my beautiful Alps? I made them for you, Sham Shafal. I made the Matterhorn for you. I made the Jungfrau for you, so you should make a bracha. You didn't go visit the Alps? So Rabbi said, when are we chartering a plane for a little Swiss tour here? I think it's time for a little Swiss yodeling. I think it's time for some yodeling. No? The president, you know, everything, I think Mr. Most, president's overburdened. He's serious overburdened. He's some help from you, Mr. Most, to organize this trip for us, to go to the Jungfrau and to the Matterhorn. President has other things. He's busy with carpets and decorating the shul, other very important matters. Okay, Rabbi Say, so we'll stop here. This is the 23rd Cheshbon of the Chavos Levavos, Rabbi Chanan Ben Kashya Omer, Hatzakadosh Baruch Hu L'Zak Yisrael.